Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Welcome back, Army sports fans. This is a good week to shoot a podcast. You know, when you lose to an FCS school, you really are not looking forward to that podcast and trying to, you know, be all upbeat and excited. But when you go into Manhattan, Kansas, and you knock off Kansas State, you're excited to shoot a podcast. It feels pretty good on a Monday morning. Gentlemen, welcome back to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Glad to have you all on. We are joined by a special guest today, Larry Pickett. Sir, welcome to the show. Also have Dano Cabeza, Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And this is your host, Jordan, in Huntsville, Alabama. Guys, I'm feeling pretty good. How are you feeling?
Never better, man.
Great. Excellent. Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course, it's Larry, a pleasure.
Thanks for making the time.
Yeah, I'm good, man. I think... like I said, there's going to be some a lot of Xanax prescriptions written in Manhattan, Kansas, because the entire fan base is they're hurting right now. Like, hey, look, if you ever want to learn how to watch football and remain calm, I'm open to donations. Send all your proceeds to the Ask for Football website, and then we will coach you on how to watch football and not lose your mind.
I did a buddy check on the guy from Bosco's Boys. And on Scott, I was like, listen, obviously I'm happy that we won and I'm not sad that you lost, but I did think about you because, and you know, he did have a full on meltdown on his show. His show is entertaining, but dude, oh my God, that was awful. I mean, it was just like, it was painful to listen to.
Yeah. Larry, we're going to talk about it in a little bit, but you've had a wild week and a half. So what has that roller coaster of emotions been like for you in everything that's happened over the last week?
Wow, it's like you said, you know, somewhat of a roller coaster. We were, you know, not expecting to come up on an accident scene, of course. But after it all happened, of course, the response from it, and then the next day driving by it and seeing that there was an above ground propane tank right behind where the car was. So that adds a different, a bit of emotion, like, wow, like God really protected us. This could have been way worse. To, of course, all the positive comments and, you know, everybody just talking about LJ. By the way, he hates all the attention. But that's just always been him. He just wants to play football and go to school, but yeah. He's taking it in stride. Lots of invites on, you know, shows and podcasts and interviews and things like that. And anytime I can talk about how awesome my son is, I'm going to accept the invite because he's just been an amazing kid. All three of our children that we have, and God's blessed us so much, never given us any trouble. Always just a great kid. So lots of, you know, lots of talking about it, but I think it's positive because it's shedding great light on West Point and the leadership academy that it is and the people who attend there and just the, you know, just the type of place it is. So it's been a very interesting week and a very exciting week.
Yeah, I bet. And for those of you who don't really know what we're talking about, Larry and his son, LJ Larry Jr., were in outside of West Point, correct? And stumbled on an accident scene, and they pulled an individual from a car that was on fire. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But Larry, just incredible. And, you know, hats off to you and your son for reacting in the moment and doing the right thing. I know you mentioned that propane tank. It's probably good it was dark and you didn't see that. That would have probably added another level onto the already heightened, you know, environment when you rolled up that evening. Yeah. Well, speaking of a heightened environment, things are kind of crazy right now in the real estate market. And if you don't have someone that's going to guide you through that, you can put yourself in a negative situation. Rob, why don't you tell our listeners about Jocelyn, how she could help them navigate that home purchase?
Yeah, so if you listened to Ask for Football before, you know that we have a sponsor here. Her name is Jocelyn Bradley. If you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There she discovered a passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed in helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when working for you. Jocelyn has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're relocating anywhere across the country. If you're in the uniform, you're going to PCS. You might as well use somebody that you can trust, and Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support us here at Ask for Football, and she's the right person to help you get into the home of your dreams. Again, if you are not coming to Fort Bragg, she has an extensive network of veteran realtors. She can recommend somebody that you can trust, another service member, somebody else that's in the circle of trust that can get you in a home. And yeah, her business card's on our website. Click on it, and you'll be talking to Jocelyn shortly. Thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, Rob. Well, as I mentioned, you know, a little bit of an emotional roller coaster, you know, season opener, losing in double overtime to Tarleton State. I had to look that up on the show. I'd never heard of Tarleton State, didn't know where Stephenville, Texas was. Not a great look for the Black Knights of the Hudson. And then to turn around a week later and rally and come together and show, you know, the culture and the discipline that Army football is, and beat a Power Four Big 12 team at home in primetime. I mean, absolutely incredible. You know, K-State dominated the first 27 minutes of the game, but they really only managed 13 points. You know, we were down 13-0. We were able to force a punt and two field goals to kind of keep us in the game. And I got to be honest, guys, through halftime, I was like, okay, like, this is not as bad as I thought. Like, you know, we're going, it's only 13-0. It's not that bad. And then I don't know what Jeff Munkin said to them in the locker room, but they came out on fire. We went 75 yards in 16 plays using a mix of flex bone and 2-minute offense right before halftime to kind of, you know, get us in there, keep us competitive. Cade Hellums, third string quarterback, came out, you know, 28 yards on 8 carries, Noah Short, 7 yards and a catch for 18 yards. You know, really just kind of fought back. And like I said, Jeff Munkin must have said something, because the boys came out and dominated the time of possession. I think K-State, there was 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and K-State had touched the ball, I think, like 3 plays for a total of like 32 seconds or something. It was incredible. Just slowly but surely kept marching down the field. Finished with 237 yards rushing on 3.4 yards per carry. Really helps that we got a squib kick. I don't know if that was intentional, Larry. I don't know if you have some insight, but you know, for those of you that didn't watch the game, we kicked a squib kick right into a K-State defender or receiver, and it bounced back and we got the ball back. I think the real story for me, though, is Army finished 6 for 7 on fourth downs. That might be the stat of the game. We held the ball for almost the entire second half, over 40 minutes time of possession, but go for it 7 times on fourth down and getting it for 6. And that was not always fourth and inches or, you know, fourth and 1. That was fourth and 3, fourth and 4 from our side of the field. Just the aggressiveness that we played with. Absolutely incredible. And then first safety Colin Madison ended the game. We thought he intercepted it, and then fumbled it, and then they overturned that, and then he intercepted it for real and won the game. Absolutely incredible. Larry, what was your take? You know, as a father of a player, what was it like watching that game?
Oh, it was so exciting. My wife and I, we were there in Manhattan, Kansas. And let me just first say, the people in Manhattan, amazing. First time there. From the time we got off the plane to the time we went back, just even though we had on our Army gear, everybody was so friendly and so respectful of the West Point students. But me being there as a father, and my son was on the field, it was just amazing, because these kids have so much grit. They didn't give up. You know, and I'm glad they don't listen to the, you know, the people who are saying, oh, I don't know if they're going to win this game. This might be one that they might not win. No, they believe the whole time. The coaching staff believe the whole time. Us as parents, we believe the whole time. So it was just amazing to see them out there and the fight back. And even after the return, it didn't matter. These guys were going to fight to the end. And obviously, we're all proud, all the families, the parents, but every Army fan who was watching that game, I know even the ones who were at home glued to their seat and watching these guys come back. So shout out to the entire team. I mean, every phase of that team, they pulled it together. And shout out to the scout team. You know, I don't think they get enough credit. shout out to everybody who helped them prepare, because they came out and they won this game. Power four team, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We did it. Go Army. We did it.
Go Army. So, you know, obviously LJ was in the locker room at halftime and after the game. Did Munkin say anything noteworthy that he shared with you?
No, I wouldn't know. And I don't ask him those type of things. You know, some things he will share. I just know that, you know, it's such a tight locker room, and they're going to keep things to themselves like that. Of course, during interviews, they may say certain things, but I didn't ask him, you know, what went down in the locker room. But I know just whether it was Coach Munkin, the senior leaders, the other coaches, you know, I know that they've got that right leadership in there, and they pulled it together. And it was amazing to watch, especially in person.
Yeah, no, absolutely incredible. I bet it was fantastic to be there. I mean, it looked like a sold out house on TV. So being able to be there and win, that's incredible. Dan, obviously, Dan, you weren't there. What was it like watching it on TV from Coastal Connecticut out on the back deck?
So it was raining, so we were inside, which is very unfortunate. Biggest thing to me was just the way the guys came together over the course of the game. I don't think we appreciated on this show and just as a fan base how much turnover this team had on the offense over the offseason and heading into week one. And even here, I mean, you could see it took them 27 minutes to sort of figure it out. I mean, they played demonstrably better all the way through the game, but they hit a different gear in the second half, and then we were watching them gain confidence in real time as the game played out. And dude, it was awesome. It was so awesome. I loved it. You know, by the end, you know, that was Army football. These guys look like they're ready for the rest of the season. Like they're going to beat the brakes off of some of these teams. I can't wait. And, you know, my final note is the last play, fourth and goal, no time left, essentially from the K-State 2. Cody Worley calls a freaking counter rollout RPO. Helms hits wide receiver Brady Anderson in the corner of the end zone on his second read. That's got to be the best play from a quarterback we've seen in, you know, years. I mean, probably since Jabari Laws was under center. I mean, dude, that was an outstanding play. It was unbelievable.
It was, and I was really impressed with the play calling on fourth down. There were plenty of times where it's like, just take the points. Like, it's okay. Munkin played like he wanted to win, not just show up and get $1.2 million. And it wasn't, hey, we're just going to, you know, do fullback dive or, you know, quarterback follow or whatever. Like, they were getting creative with the play calling. They were trusting Kale to make the right play. That was so cool to see, Dan, to your point of they would give him that RPO where he could make, you know, make a decision in space of does he want to throw it? Does he think he can get it with his legs? That was really cool to see, you know, his leadership, you know, first collegiate start kind of come out and step into that role and really excel. Rob, as you were watching this, you know, especially, I know you're a defensive guy, but the defense going up against that, you know, K-State offensive line, what did you see that really kind of spoke to you?
Yeah, so on both sides of the ball, the line play was very good, right? So when your linebackers are making tackles all over the field, that means the front five of the front seven are doing their job, right? So when the linebackers are able to roam free, they're making tackles. Like, is it too early in the season? Like, I'm going to have to, you know, caveat my Captain America on the defense side and start calling him Captain America and the Winter Soldier, because I've got, you know, Fortner and Thomas are both in the middle, and they're like Buck Inn and Steve Rogers, you know, like they're all over the field making plays. And that was great to see, because that was a, you know, in years past, we've only had like one guy kind of rise to the top as that starting little linebacker star. Now we've got both linebackers that are playing well. And like when you have a team that has great linebacking core, guess what? We're talking about them still 20 years later, just like the New Orleans Saints of the 90s, right? When they had the best defensive linebacking core probably of all time, maybe at that point. But the other thing that I saw on the offensive sides of the ball was 100% just like the splits, man. They closed the splits down. You know, you're going two tights, flex bone, and they were just jamming it down their throat. Like, they had no answer for that. And then the first half, it was like, okay, we need to keep doing this because we're moving the ball. And the second half is like, oh, we need to keep doing this because we're wearing the defense down. Because you got to think, their defense called a timeout. Like, rarely, if ever, does defense call a timeout. We got two tight ends on the field. Like you know what the play is. They're going to run at you. Right. If I see two tight ends, like, oh, they're running, like, that should not be a surprise. And the fact that they were so desperate for, you know, a break. And I watched the post game interview with the coach from K-State, and he was basically like, that kick return screwed us because we were trying to make adjustments to counter the what the offense was doing, and line was just blowing them off the ball. They were like 1 foot split zone blocking. Like, there was nothing fancy about any of that. They were just beating them up physically. And he was like, we were trying to make adjustments, and because we scored so fast, we didn't get a chance to implement anything, so we're right back on defense. And that's really what caused, like, that was the, like, that was the small, the snowflake that led to the snowball on the back end of the game. So, you know, you can't discount it. And you guys know me as the defensive guy. I'm going to say this, because if you're between 48 and 50 plays on defense, you're probably competitive or winning that game. Army had 82 offensive plays. Your defense is tired. Like, look at that number. I can tell you, if you look at any box score where the opposing team has over 70 plays, you lost that game. You lost that game. I mean, it was
so cool to watch the penetration the Army offensive line was getting throughout the game. Your first quarter, not a lot. Second quarter, a little bit more. By the third and the fourth quarter, they were blowing them, you know, 2-3 yards off the ball every play. It got easier to run the ball. We had, you know, established that, you know, Kale can throw, and, you know, they were respecting the run. Linebackers were falling back. It really, just watching that team grow up over the course of four quarters was so cool to watch.
Yeah. And my last comment is, I can tell you, after that field goal, Coach Saturnio looked at Coach Monk and like, are we going to do it? Like, if you watch the replay, like, they're walking side by side, and you can see that look on his face, like, hey, coach, I got something for the kickoff. And I was like,
I thought it was accidental. Like, how do you plan to kick the ball into somebody?
100%. That is the absolute most gangster freaking onside kick I've ever seen in all my years of watching football. Like 100% best onside kick ever.
Maybe I'm naive. I think it was an accident. I don't know if it's cooler if it's an accident or if it was intentional, but, you know, knowing Jeff Big Balls Munkin, it was probably intentional. Well, Dan, are we doing – oh, no, we're going to awards next. Sorry, I got confused.
You got to let me play it, man. I made one for this week, all right?
Okay, all right, fine. All right, we're doing a new segment, apparently, and Dan is really excited about it. It's called awards. So Rob, go ahead.
Hey, you know, like, first of all, shout out to everybody that played, because I think everybody did a great job, but you got to give it to Colin Mattinson. Like, when you listen to his background, you know, family's from Fort Riley, lives in Oklahoma, you know, basically had two turnovers in the last 5 minutes of the game. Like, that was a turnover, right? Like, it was a football move. The guy caught the ball, took two steps, ball pops out, fumble. Like, you could see the look on the K-State's coach's face when they were like, oh, play is overturned. I was like, man, that guy had the worst grin on his face because he knew he got over. Like, straight up, he knew he got over. It's like, so that being said, Colin Mattinson, he had 5 solo tackles, you know, a forced fumble and a pick all in, like, the last 5 minutes of the game. Like, that guy was a tremendous athlete, great, you know, and what an inspirational, you know, moment, because he could have easily given up on himself after that fumble that got turned over, and typically we've seen, you know, that kind of response from lesser Army teams in the past. So that's my weekly award.
All right, Larry, you're up next. I just want to caveat, you can't give it to your son, you got to give it to somebody else.
Wow. So I will say, if I can, I want to give it to Dawson Jones.
Okay.
To overcome what he did from the previous week, to these 6 inches between your head.
Yeah.
You know, to not let that affect and come through for us, and knowing that we've got an amazing season ahead. Kudos to him. Great job. There's so many people who could have gotten it. But I think that in the era of social media, in comments and people saying certain things, he didn't let any of that affect him, and he came through for his team.
Yeah, absolutely. Since you're our honored guest, I will also let you give an award to your son. I'm sure you have one teed up for him.
Always. My son, my two daughters, my wife, I mean, we're just, like I said in the intro, I'm just so proud of just all of them. They've done great things. This is just one thing that he's done that was actually just caught on camera, you know.
Yeah.
We've just been so proud. And then if I'm going to give it to him for that. I also want to recognize all the first responders, all the firemen and women and the policemen and women and EMS who literally do that type of thing every day and don't get the type of credit. So I feel like, you know, they should get more attention for what they do, because going into a dangerous situation, some people choose to do that as a living.
Yeah, 100%. You're exactly right. It's a choice to do that, to run into a situation and not knowing what's going to happen or what the outcome is going to be, or if there's a propane tank right next to a burning car. And, you know, to do that every day is absolutely incredible. Absolutely.
Every day.
Dan, I don't know how you're going to top that one, but
you're going to try.
You dropped the mic.
Sometimes you just play a role, man. It's all right. Give me Army fullbacks David Clerk and Briggs Bartosz. Had Hayden Reed and Jake Rendina both go down in this game. So the Black Knights had to go to their number three and number four fullbacks. And both guys played, you know, pretty well coming in. I think Bartosz finished with three or four carries. Clerk had one. Every time I turned around, they were highlighting a bunch of his key blocks during the game. How many reps could the possibly, you know, the number three fullback have gotten during the week? Honestly, I mean, that's unbelievable. So yeah, those guys get my awards. That is not easy to come off the bench thinking you're going to watch. Basically, you're going to watch this game and suddenly you are starring role. So yeah.
You said David Clerk. I think it was somebody else though, right?
Thought it was. Let me look it up while we're talking. He's a fullback. No.
Yeah.
Name escapes me, but
Briggs, yeah. Bartosz and David Clerk came in after after what's his name went out.
Regina and Hayden Reed.
Reed. Yeah, thank you.
Hayden Reed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oop. Well, I'm up next, and I just, before I read mine from Brian Brennan in the First Tee Club, they did not tell me that we were doing this. You know, I guess I missed the pre-production meeting, so I did not have an award prepared. So I know I get a little bit of a reputation for not being prepared for this show, but in this rare instance, I was not given the opportunity to prepare. So I just want the record to reflect that. But from Brian in the First Tee Club, if there's an award for toughness, offensive lineman Teddy Williams, number 74, was hurt for at least two plays before he eventually had to come out. He was in the huddle on a knee the play before and still lined back up and mauled the Wildcat before having to come out. Our kids wanted to play on Saturday. Absolutely. The aggressiveness and the violence and the grit that this team showed, that was night and day football. I don't know what happened in those 7 days between losing to Tarleton State and this game, but it was a totally different football team on a totally different trajectory for the season. So, absolutely. Hats off to Teddy and, you know, David and Briggs and Colin and LJ and everybody for just the incredible effort that they put in. It was beautiful to watch on Saturday.
Carson Smith, fullback, nine carries, 23 yards, long of 5 yards. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. That's a good catch.
All right, Dan, here's another segment that you've added.
Listen, James added these segments and people like them, so you're just going to have to deal with it.
Really?
Shall we play a game?
Dan? Yeah. Yeah. So the question is, what does K-State need to do to fix their offense? Because I listened to so many of their podcasters cry and I kind of enjoyed it, but still, they got to fix that running game, dude. They got a great running quarterback and they do not let that dude run. Teams are bottling up the center. They got to, you know, so now here's Avery Johnson got the whole game on his shoulders passing. It's college football, run the read option. I mean, I don't know how complicated that is, but I was really, really surprised that they were trying to run drop back passing with play action with that. I mean, if they'd run the slow mesh, I don't know if it would have gotten Army, but it would definitely get somebody.
Rob, what do you think?
Hey, you know, you can't be one deep, right? They're like, oh, Dylan Edwards is out, we can't win the football game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, no, like, absolutely not. Like, you have to find that talented. Like, they have some young, talented guys, or then you have a recruiting problem. Like, you know, when you listen to the fan base, like, hey, we need new coaches. Okay, like, is it because they're not recruiting well? Or is it because, like, well, we have a 4-star quarterback and they're just not running a good offense? Okay, well, what offense would you run? Well, you got a 4-star quarterback and, you know, and like, that's the thing. Again, I'm offering my services to how to watch college football and not lose your mind. But the main thing is, like, you just got to understand the game, right? When you look at the time of possession, literally K-State had two offensive possessions roughly in the third quarter, right? That's it. They touched the ball twice. One of them was a kick return, and then it was a 2-point conversion. And then after that, it was all Army. Like, it doesn't matter. You could have a 17-star quarterback. Like, guess what? If he's not on the field, he ain't throwing touchdowns. And I think that's one of the things, like, from a fan standpoint, you have to understand, like, if you're losing the time of possession game, it doesn't matter how much talent you have on your offense if they're not on the field. But I think the other piece of it is like, it's the embarrassment of riches. So when you go from, you know, a team that wins a lot, or, you know, goes to a bowl game every year or every other year or consistently for a period of time, and then things don't work out your way, then you're hitting the fire alarm, right? Like, as Army fans, like, we went through some pretty thin years where it was like, ugh. All right, like, hopefully we'll, you know, hopefully we'll be 6-6 and get a bowl game, you know, off of a fluke, right? Now that we've had some consistency with winning, the expectation is 8-10 wins every season, right? And I think that's part of the problem with the K-State fan base is, like, how did the, you know, and again, I will say this, I said it on the roundtable, I said it last week, and I will say it again. If you look at Tarleton State's social media and everything else that they are building, they are preparing to make the jump to FBS. $81 million in facilities. Their gym is probably nicer than some power, easily group of five schools, maybe some power four schools on the lower end tier. So you have to understand that they are about to make the jump. Look at what JMU did. Look at what Jackson State is doing. Look at what Kennesaw State did when they were on their way up to jump into FBS. It's going to happen. They're hunting scalps. They're going to get them. And I think everybody's having an overreaction because they're like, oh, well, we don't understand why Army lost. They must suck. And this is the K-State fans. And so, like, hey, we're going to blow them out. Right. And so the expectation was, hey, we've got Avery Johnson. He's a 4-star quarterback. He's going to throw all over these dudes. And it didn't happen. Thus, the overreaction on the backside at the end of the game. Because, like, if you were being honest with yourself, like, dude, they kept the ball for 40 minutes. Like, I don't know any football team that could win with a lopsided time of possession like that. So K-State, what they really need to do is find another running back that can spell Dylan Edwards, because you're going to need him anyway. And then, you know, look at what's going on the field. Like, it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't a coaching thing. It was like, and then the other part of it is they got out physical. Like, Army's players were hitting them in the mouth. Like, the number of drop passes in the second half wasn't because it was bad ball placement or anything like that, because those dudes were getting racked, right? The reason why Colin Madison got that interception was because that defensive back, or that wide receiver, was like looking over his shoulder, like, all right, when's that hit coming? Because these dudes have been popping me all game. And so he, you know, he did the crocodile arm to catch that pass. He could have caught that pass. Like, how many one-handed catches have you seen in college football over the last 5 years, right? He could have caught that pass, but he heard the footsteps and he was nervous that he was going to get blasted. And, you know, I think the physical toughness is the other part that nobody's looking at. Like, Army beat those kids up.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, speaking of getting blasted and beat up, you don't want that to happen to you when you're buying a home, especially in today's volatile mortgage market. Dan, why don't you tell our listeners about Craig? Dan, you're on mute. Oh, that's a boomer move right there, sir.
Of course I am. Friends, Craig Oxane is the area sales manager for the Money Store. He is licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is a mortgage broker. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994, and he is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal that he possibly can. And this matters because if you bought a house, you already know buying a house and getting a mortgage is freaking super confusing. Interest rates move all over the place. You got to sign a million miles worth of paperwork. It's just not the time to deal with some clown who just wants to make a buck off you. You actually would like to deal with a person, someone you can call on the phone who actually cares about you. And that's Craig, right? He's not a call center. He's not some random big box bank. He's not a mindless website. He is a friend of the show. You know, former Army football player who supports us here at AFF. And this is how the West Point network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business, and we're trying to introduce you to the best deal, to the guy who's going to give you the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can. So, you know, plus Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. It's a huge savings, like $1,300. Get that money, friends. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager for the Money Store. Check him out. Links on our website. He's got a little business card there. Click on it. Fill out a little form. Be talking to him in a couple of hours. Same is true with Jocelyn. I'm telling you, it couldn't be easier. And you just save yourself the hassle next time you're PCSing. You know what I'm talking about. It's such a pain in the ass.
All right, Dan, why don't you, I'm going to go ahead and give you the mic. You know, now it's time for a little fireside chat moment with you and Larry. I'll fade into the background. You can do what you do. Serenade us with your sweet, sweet voice.
Good Lord. Larry, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, man? Just the basics, like where are you from? What do you do? All that stuff.
All right. So we're from Raleigh, North Carolina. I own a production company, DTS nice. Production Agency. I make videos, commercials, social media management, you name it, anything dealing with promotions and marketing for companies all up and down the East Coast. And I love photography. I love videography. Nice. We have three children, Larry Jr., nice. Olivia, and Lauren. My wife and I, we've been married since 2002. We're very active in our church. We're elders there. We were youth pastors before we started hitting the road so much with traveling with LJ. So we had to relinquish that duty because we're traveling back on Sundays. Yeah. You know, during the season at least, you know. Sure. But just very, very happy family. We love the Lord. We love football. And, you know, our kids are just everything to us. You know, that's awesome. So that's kind of us in a nutshell.
So military tradition in your family?
So my grandfather was in the military.
Okay.
He was actually the first black band leader
oh, wow.
in the Navy. And my wife's dad, so LJ's other grandfather, he was in the okay. Coast Guard.
Okay, very cool. So what did you think when West Point started recruiting your son? Like, I know a lot of parents are, it seems like the parents are either super gung-ho or they're like, oh, no, stay the hell away from my kid. So what did you think?
So it was the exact opposite for us because everybody who's known LJ since he was a little kid knows he wanted to go to the Army.
Okay.
So I tell the story often. You can look back on my Facebook page from 2015 and see us at Disney World. Every other kid has a Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse or Frozen, and he's got on Army gear.
Okay.
If you look at what he was wearing at Christmas as a little boy, obviously Halloween, things like that, when we used to celebrate it, it was always Army. It was okay. always Army. So I've got videos of him in the backyard with his fatigues on, and he's acting like he's chasing down the enemy. So for LJ, when West Point recruited him, it was amazing. We obviously started doing even more research. We did our visits. Coach yeah. Munkin invited us to his house for barbecue. He took his top recruits and invited them. So we went and hung out with him and had a great barbecue. And West Point is just a perfect fit for LJ because it's what he's always wanted to do. So we love it. It's a dream come true for the Pickett family, for LJ to be at West Point.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations. What a great story. Favorite memory yeah. from the recruiting process?
Oh, wow. So the recruiting process for us was very interesting because we still wanted to hear all the coaches out.
Yeah,
we still wanted to give LJ that opportunity to visit the facilities and see the weight rooms and learn about the different schools. So LJ was recruited by NC State, Duke, Wake Forest, Elon, South Carolina Gamecocks, Navy, of course, ultimately chose Army. So he was recruited by a lot of schools.
Yeah, yeah.
He was offered by Army, Navy, Fayetteville State. But what I was saying about Army, it was a dream come true. And so favorite memory from the visits were just the visits, meeting the coaches. But I will tell you, when people found out that, you know, West Point had offered him, I'm talking about, you know, people from our community, church, people like West Point. Wow. And it was just different. And it was different because of the prestige of West Point, and it's not a 4-year plan. You all know it's a 40-year
yeah, yeah, absolutely. Plan.
So it was one of those things for us where it was just truly amazing to have that opportunity, and we're just super excited, you know, that he's here. But the recruiting process, it's all on his website. Obviously, I like making videos. Of course, I didn't go in there with a film crew, so I would just have my phone and put some things together. So if anybody's interested in it, it's at his website, which is LarryPickettJr.com. He's had it since high school. We put up videos of him from Little League days, from, you know, him making big hits as a little kid, him on his recruiting visits. So for us, well, I'll say for me, it's always been about documenting it.
Sure.
For him, it's always been about just playing football and going to school. And I would say, hey, man, did you share that video that I made of you? No, I don't. You know, he's never been about it. So if you're anybody who follows him on X, that's all me. It says it right there at the top, managed by his dad, because that's like my fan page for my son. He's always done really good things, just like our daughters, just like my wife and everything she's doing with what she in her profession. So I'm the type of person where I'm going to document it. So obviously, you know, on his website, you can go back at LarryPickerJr.com and see high school plays, little league plays, me throwing him bullet passes as a little kid and he's catching them. Like all of that I've documented. So the recruiting process for us, we were anticipating it. It was a dream come true for us that he would even be recruited by colleges. I left my job and retired in 2021 because I knew that I would be there for not just him, but our daughters. So this is like part of our journey, knowing that he was going to be recruited and that I worked in the car business prior to starting my production company. And you can't be in the car business on Saturdays and be at a football game on Saturdays. They need you. On Saturdays, that's the busiest day of the week. So, to answer your question, the recruiting process, it was really cool for us because we knew it was coming, and we got a chance to, you know, take every bit of it in.
Okay, so he's a yearling, right?
He is.
How did plebe year go? Like, I guess the adjustment was. I mean, was it what he thought it was going to be?
So, you know, I think just like all the kids, they watch all the videos on YouTube coming in. Yeah. He went to prep first.
Okay.
He did the visits. He got to talk to some people there. But I think when you're actually there, it's like, you know, wow. But he took it all in. He's still taking it all in. He's loving every bit of it because it's what he wanted to do. You know, he's all branch week, like every part of it. And even me as a dad, like I'm one of those dads where I'm like, look, if my kids are into it, I'm into it.
Yeah.
So like I'm a band dad now. Our daughter's, you know, my daughter, she plays four different instruments now. And my other daughter, Lauren, she's into acting and she's into arts. And so whatever they want to do, that's what I want to do. So it's the recruiting part. It was a big deal for us because it was, you know, showcasing how awesome he was on the field.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about what happened last Friday night. You want to walk us through it basically?
Sure. So we were driving from Manhattan. We had went to Times Square.
Oh, wow.
We wanted to hang out there. We've been, obviously, he's been there since prep, right? So we've been to Times Square many times. We've done the visits. So it was myself, my wife, my two daughters, Olivia and Lauren, and his girlfriend. And we went to Central Park, Times Square. We got pizza the whole nine, right?
Yeah.
And coming back, coming through Fort Montgomery, we see a power line on the ground, and we're the first ones to come up upon it. You follow that, and you see it sparking, and you look to the left, and you see that there's a pole actually on a car, a white SUV, and you see the power lines are under the vehicle, and they're sparking. And as we focus, we're like, there's actually somebody in there. We don't know how long that he had been there, whether it was 5 seconds, 5 minutes, we don't know. But that's the moment where it was like, okay, this is serious. So we got out the car. LJ runs right to the vehicle. He springs into action. And the part, we didn't know about the above ground propane tank until the next day. But the reason why it was such a dangerous scene and why the people who were already there were like, no, don't go close. Don't go near it. There were people, you know, they're calling 911. And you can't blame them because it's a car made of metal and aluminum, and it's a power line. So we don't fault anybody for not taking action, but LJ's a little different where he's going to make sure that he's going to help his fellow man. So we opened the door, and the gentleman was in there. He was just staring straight ahead. He was out of it. He wasn't unconscious, though, because his eyes were open. I think he was in shock or a concussion. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't spoken with him yet. But I just know he was out of it. So we struggled with the seatbelt for a little bit. The airbag again was deployed. And when my daughter, my youngest daughter, she starts to record, you can see where she starts to record at the point where we're trying to get him out.
Yeah.
You know, like that third tug on the videos, you see me fall down and then I get up and we carry him across the road. And there's a pretty lengthy video on my social media. It's like 9 minutes long of the entire like thing. But he eventually comes to, we're talking to him, asking him if anything hurts. He was in disbelief, like, that's not my car. There's no way. That's not my car. We're like, yes, sir, that is your car. But it was just, it happened so fast. You know, you drive up on it and you see somebody in there. So it wasn't anything that was, you know, we didn't talk about it. We didn't coordinate. LJ just, you know, went right into action. Man. And so there was two dangerous parts there. You had the fire and you had the electrical shock aspect. And yeah, as I've said before, if you ever see a defibrillator hanging on the wall somewhere and you have to use it and you listen to the instructions on there, it'll tell you to place the patches on the person, but it says clear for a reason because it's going to shock that person's heart back. But if you're too close, it will stop your heart. And that was the main thing that, you know, that shock. If fire would have gotten on us, maybe we could have taken off our clothes or stopped, dropped, and rolled. But one touch could have been it with the electricity. So we're just so thankful to God that he protected us, not only from the fire, not only from the shock, but from an explosion from the propane tank. And then, of course, the real heroes, they showed up with the fire department, the EMS, and, of course, the police department. So they put the fire out, and they took care of him. They transported him. And that was kind of, you know, a summary of what happened. But it was just an amazing night because of everything that happened. But we're so thankful that he got to walk away and live another day. We thank God. We praise Jesus for that because it could have ended up a whole nother way.
Yeah. You have no way of knowing this, but I am a former overhead construction supervisor, have done, you know, 4 years worth of work on overhead live wires and stuff like that. And what you guys did was exceptionally dangerous. And I am very happy that you're okay, because that was pretty wild. And yeah, very, very brave. It's a little hard to see from the video, but dude, that's amazing. So yeah, congratulations. And very, very happy that it worked out for you. Propane, yes, sir, adds a whole nother level. Obviously you've been doing some media since then. Anything else going on? Anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, we've got, stay tuned. There's some more media that has been requested to talk to LJ. So the great team over at West Point, they're deciding, you know, if he can or he can't talk to certain outlets, because everybody, I mean, people from around the world have been reaching out trying to talk to this kid. So, you know, just stay tuned. We'll see. Again, he hates all this. Hates a strong word, but this is not him. He just wants to play football and study and go to West Point. But the story needs to be told about, you know, his bravery, because, you know, and I'm happy that people are learning how awesome our son is, and they'll soon learn how awesome our daughters are. And we have one that's considering West Point.
Oh, that's so awesome.
So yeah, we're just super proud of our kids. We've seen these types of things in them their whole lives, and so now the world gets to see it.
All right, so coming back to Army football, what is your favorite thing about Army football now?
My favorite thing about Army football is brotherhood.
Your personal favorite thing, like, it's Saturday, we're going to Army football game. Like, what is your favorite thing, you Larry Pickett Sr.?
Okay, so it's got to be the brotherhood. It's got to be the Corps of Cadets. It's got to be the flyover. It's got to be the cannon. Just, I would say, in one word, the experience.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've got pictures of me taking LJ and my wife and I like to see the military helicopter as a little kid and going to Fort Bragg to the museum. We're in Raleigh, North Carolina. I know you're the angry colonel, right? Why are you so angry, by the way? I know you were
in Fort Bragg. Yeah, 20 years of hanging with grunts. It'll do it for you.
So we've taken him out there. Most of my tattoos came from the Fayetteville area, and when I would go, I'd always have to stop at the Army Supply Store and bring him something back because he knew I was going to Fayetteville as a little kid. So, like, all of that, the experience is my favorite part because it's what we grew up. My wife, if she's watching TV, it's military or police. So, and somebody asked me, like, somebody said, Larry, you weren't in the military. Your wife wasn't in the military. Why was LJ so interested in going into the military? And I thought about that on the ride back from New York a few weeks ago. And I said, if I was watching TV, I was watching the NFL Network.
Sure.
If my wife was watching TV, she was watching military or police show. So I think as a little kid growing up, those were his two influences. And now he's playing football at a military school and going into the military as an officer once he graduates. So, because he didn't get that influence from me. I didn't watch, I wasn't in the military. So yeah, all of it for me is my favorite. It's the experience. West Point is amazing.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on today. Yes, sir. So let's move on to our mailbag.
All right. Hey, well, we've mentioned a couple times about the show, you know, stuff from James or Brendan or Brian or whoever. They're all members of our Firsty Club. So we solicit a lot of questions from them, but anyone can send us a question. So if you've got something you'd like to address, you can always email us through the website or hit us on social media at As For Football. Matt asked us, are we back to zero after an FCS loss and a Power Four win? I would say we're a little above zero personally. You know, I think the Power Four win kind of outweighs the loss to an FCS school, at least in my opinion. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, they have some, it was after that loss, it was pretty apparent that they had some adjustments to make. And as we said, you know, they got a lot of new dudes on offense and it's a growing process. Most people do not schedule the number four or five FCS team in the country on week one and then give them a 0 week to get right before they play you. Like most teams just wouldn't do that. So I agree with you, Jordan. I think they're in a good place now, and 1-1 is probably where we expect it to be. And you just got to look for the best that you can look for with the rest of the season.
Yeah. 1-1 with different teams in the win and the loss column was kind of our thought. Brian asks, was this week divine intervention? I cannot remember a game in which Army ever got the lucky bounce for the crazy outcomes they did versus K-State. Does God hate K-State? Rob, I'll give you that one.
If you listen to the people in Kansas, they would say that Kansas is God's country. I can honestly say I've got three deployments with the big red one. That place could stick it. But the reality of it is like that's probably what made me the angry colonel was my assignment to the 1st Infantry Division. But the reality of it is it's like hey, it's a lucky bounce. But I'm telling you, man, 100%. I think, you know, in my heart of hearts, Coach Saturnio called that kick as a onside kick and it worked out for us. I think that bounce was probably divine intervention, but the planning and the execution was not. You know, I think you create opportunities for yourself and being completely honest, I don't think God intervenes on either side of a football contest. I think the reality of it is it's like the skills that you have are gifts. And if you execute the way that you should, you're going to win the football game. And I think that's really what happened is like you got to see a complete complimentary Army football game this past Saturday.
Yeah. Larry, you said you love the people of Kansas. Do you think God hates them for some reason, or do you think Army absolutely just came to play?
Army came to play. God loves us all.
Yeah, 100%. All right, Brendan Jones asked, hindsight's always 20/20, but did the coaching staff, quote, get it wrong by choosing Coleman to start the season, or was part of the magic of Helms versus Kansas State that the Wildcats defense had next to no film on him? Dan, I know you've had a lot of opinions about the Army quarterbacks over the years, especially this year. So hindsight being 20/20, two games in, what do you think?
We saw Dwayne Coleman play something like 10 quarters last season and beat Air Force. How would you not let him start game one? But with that said, I'll be very surprised if Cale Helms doesn't lead the team the rest of the way, or at least as long as he can stay healthy, because, you know, after that start, I think he's earned that right. And you kind of hate it for Coleman because, you know, to lose your job to injury or whatever, but I think what I've seen now is that they need a bigger type of body who could just get in there and mix it up and take some punishment. And I don't know if Coleman's that guy. So I hate to say that. I think he's played pretty well at times, but Helms is just bringing what they want the Army quarterback to bring, I think.
Yeah. If Helms continues to be the starter, I'm going to have to learn to call him Cale and not Cade. In my mind, I think it's Cade Helms because we had Cade Ballard, but it is Cale. So if you're listening, Cale, I apologize that I'm going to mess your name up a lot. It is not intentional, I promise. Dan, why don't you take us into our favorite thing?
Yeah, friends, I'm on vacation. My wife and I are headed to Saratoga to walk the battlefield tomorrow and do touristy shit, and I'm pretty excited about it. Why we moved the show to today, so for Firsty Club guys who got on with us today, thank you. And Larry, thank you very much for your flexibility, because we've moved this show a lot. You guys didn't really see that, but there was a lot of scheduling craziness that went on. I'm glad we didn't have to go head-to-head with Coach Munkin's show, because he usually records on Mondays at 7 as well. But this being a bye week, he also took the week off, so that's good. So anyway, stick with us. It's a bye, but there's a lot of American content coming. Omar's got a good article today, and then he's got more stuff later in the week. And that's it. And if you like Astro Football, visit our merch store or join us on Patreon. And go Army, beat the bye week.
Beat them. Thank you all for listening. Larry, thank you so much for joining. Go Army.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, whether you're cheering in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!